Empower Radio presents Art as Worship with Vanessa Lowry.
Welcome to Art as Worship. Each week we feature stories of artists and explore their process of creation. I'm your host, Vanessa Lowry, and I'm thankful that you're joining me. On this show, I talk with artists of various faiths working in a wide range of mediums on the common theme of how they use inspiration and creativity as an expression of their spirituality. Learn how their art is an expression of their own connection to however they name God, Jehovah, Allah, Source, the universe, the great mystery, or something else. My hope is that these stories will inspire your own creative efforts and your own spiritual expression. My guest today is Anita Beyer. She's an interior designer and the founder of Beyer's Design. Beyer's Design was founded in January of 2002 by Anita Beyer to help her clients transform their homes and their lives with full-service interior decorating and renovating services. Today, she joyfully engages in all aspects of the multidimensional business of interior design. Her favorite thing to do is making her clients' dreams a reality, whether that is doing a complete home renovation from demolition to reconstruction, or to personalizing a room or an office. Orchestrating projects from start to finish and removing burdens and headaches from her clients is where Anita shines. Her projects have been highlighted in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution and other national publications. She also has hobbies of working out and dancing. She loves to dance. So I am excited to have Anita with us today. Welcome, Anita.
Thank you. Thank you, Vanessa. Glad to be here.
So I know I've known you for a long time, which is really such a pleasure to get to interview you kind of professionally and also about your spirituality and how your work ties into that. But I also know you as a good friend. So it's just such a pleasure to have you with me today.
Thank you. And it's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. Thank you. So in your bio, we talked about that your medium really is interior design, that you go in and help people have better spaces that are more beautiful, that they feel better in. Can you tell me a little bit more about why you do that and how you go about creating a space for a client?
Typically what I do is when I first meet a client, it's a lot of me listening to what they have to say because they don't always know what they want. And so it's a matter of kind of processing and dissecting that information. And it's funny because a lot of it has to do with some area in their life that they're working on. It's funny how that kind of connects with, say, the room that they're working on as well. Like, okay, family room, it could be linked into the family itself. So it's always interesting to help them bring that together and make it cohesive and make it a wonderful place for them.
So how's it different when you're, because it sounds like you're very collaborative in the way that you do your art, which is the way that I work with clients as well. But how is it different when you're creating something for yourself versus when you're collaborating with a client?
And it's funny because I've done that. You've seen my own kitchen, so you've seen me do projects in my own house.
I know, but you're beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you. And it's funny because I actually treat myself like I treat a client because it's pulling all of that information and compiling that information and getting a good feel for what I want. And the same thing happens even when I'm dealing with a client. It's pulling a lot of information because a lot of times they'll say one thing, but that's not really what they mean. And so we have to be able to interpret and then make it happen and then transform that room.
So is there a process that you go through for that interpretation?
A lot of it is, like the initial part of it is actually that conversation, listening, and then according to what I'm doing, if it has to do with textiles like fabrics and furniture and things like that, I will bring a lot of fabrics just from our discussion, because we've already had an initial meeting, from our initial discussion, and just to see what direction or what they actually gravitate towards, because there again, it's usually very different than what they tell me.
So it's kind of a narrowing down process.
It is. It is. And then that's the wonderful part of it, because you actually help them see what they truly like and love that they never knew they did. And it kind of takes them outside of their own box or their comfort zone. Because I've had clients tell me that a lot of times, like, I would have never, ever selected this, but I love it.
So do you have them bring you pictures and things that they've seen that they like as well?
A lot of times I'll ask them to either bring to me or have available fabrics or things that they really like, just to help define what they're trying to tell me. Because a lot of times when somebody says one thing, they may say, you know, modern, and it's totally different from what modern really is or how it's defined. So the pictures help a lot in the descriptives, but then it's also dissecting that picture, because what is it they see in that picture that they really like or that they gravitate towards?
Well, I remember a couple of years ago, I just did a little poll with some of my friends to talk about, you know, what kinds of things were important to them when they made decisions. And I remember being surprised that you and I were the only ones of probably 25 people that I kind of sent this little survey to that said aesthetics were very important to us. And I thought, well, that's interesting, but that makes sense, that this is the kind of work and art that you pursue is because the aesthetic is so important. So how do you, since there's so many people that think that's not important to them, but my feeling is it's really kind of subconsciously important to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
How do you educate your clients on the importance of that aesthetic part, or do they already, by the time they come to you, have they already kind of come to that point?
I don't know that they've actually come to that point, but in the process, like just talking with them, showing them things, they come to the understanding that our aesthetics and our surroundings are so important, because whether it's our home or our office, whatever it might be, that's our place where we actually rejuvenate. And, or I know for me it is, and for most people. And if that place is not harmonious and it's not something that energizes you and makes you feel wonderful, then it can actually deplete you of energy.
So how do you feel like that your environment relates to your sense of spirituality?
To me, I feel like it's very closely connected, because there again, it's like that sense of how it feels. And the spirituality is just the surroundings and how it feels harmonious, or it feels tranquil, relaxing, a place that you can get in touch with yourself. I think that all of those components are very important.
So it sounds like it's almost more of concentrating on the feeling part of it than the thinking part of it, than the mind part of it.
And it is. Just trying to think how to relate that back. Because there's the aesthetics part of it, but then it's also looking at the flow and how it feels, because that is a lot of what it's all about, is the feeling, the flow, and then how, whether it be me or the individual that lives there, how they feel about their space and how it makes people feel when they come into that space.
So just jumping to a little bit different angle of this topic, do you consider yourself an artist? Have you thought of yourself as an artist?
And it's funny that you say it. It's like, I don't know that I've thought of myself as an artist, because typically when I think of artists, I think of somebody that does the beautiful paintings and things like that. I think of myself more on the creative side, and I don't want to say, I say this in a small text, creator.
Mm-hmm.
So I am creating a vision for like my clients or myself or whomever. But it's more on the creative side.
So do you have any kind of a process that you go through to get into that creative space? Is there any kind of a ritual or anything that you do to tap into that creativity?
And it's not so much that, I guess I think of it as being like a ritual or a process. The biggest thing, and it's funny, a lot of times when even when I walk in a space, I can feel different things, or sometimes I can even see like glimmers will flash in front of me, my eyes or whatever. It says like the color that's going to be in that room, or I can see like, okay, this is what needs to be placed in this room. Or sometimes it could be as small as how the accessories are actually displayed on top of a piece of furniture. It'll like flash before my eyes. Sometimes it's fast. Those things are really neat and really cool. And I mean, I know they're all things that are being fed to me, information, which I love that. The biggest thing on my process is when I try to fight what really should be. And sometimes it could be, and I won't say this like in a bad way, like if a client is determined to use something for a reason, and sometimes that reason is not the right reason for them, mm-hmm. If that makes sense at all, like they, okay, well, I just got to, like later on you find out, well, I just got to use that because my great aunt gave it to me. I hate it. It has like bad feelings to it, but I got to use it.
So that's what you mean by the bad reason, is that it doesn't really mean something positive to them.
Exactly.
They just feel an obligation,
right,
to include it.
And then you're trying to incorporate it, and then it's like it doesn't flow. And then finally they work through what they need to work through with that connection with the aunt or whatever, and they realize, okay, I don't have to have it as a prominent thing in this room. It could be used somewhere else. So sometimes I suggest that because it's funny because you can feel the different vibrations or the different feelings.
So when you get a flash like that, when you first walk into a room, mm-hmm. do you usually share that with the client right away? Or is that something you wait and work into the process as you're starting to present designs to them?
Usually I try to wait because I want to get as much information from them, because I don't want to lead them. And it's not like a trick or some way to kind of manipulate, because I want to be able to get unbiased information from them. Like, I want to get what you truly think, what you truly feel, whether you can actually communicate that or not, but get as much information that is unbiased without my input.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's funny because a lot of times it may link back to what I actually saw, but or the actual fact is that is the right color or what needs to be in that room, and it kind of gets incorporated.
So you get these flashes of inspiration, but then you're open to see where they lead to.
Mm-hmm. True.
So as opposed to having a specific idea of this is exactly what it's supposed to be.
No. I mean, and sometimes it's funny because, or it's really fun because, you know, like I said, like one time it was just how accessories were being displayed in an area. It was like such a vivid thing. It was like almost shook me. It's like, here, this is what's supposed to be right here. I'm like, okay, I've got to find this.
And were you able to find it easily?
I was. Well, it's like, yes, actually, because usually when it's supposed to be there, it's like those things flow when I fight the system and try to make something else happen that's not supposed to be there. That's when it's harder, and that's when I'm not working with the process.
And so when you're fighting the system, it's more when there's something specific that the client is trying to incorporate that doesn't fit, or is there another way that you fight the system?
Sometimes it's that, or sometimes it is they have made a selection. You know, it could be like in the fabric choices, they've made a selection that for whatever reason, either they think that I think they should like that, or they think that's the, you know, new popular thing, or whatever that might be, and they want to incorporate it, and it's like it really shouldn't be there. And so that part's hard. But somehow it always works out because either that part, that fabric is not available, or, you know, whatever it might be. So it's like it always works out, but it's like I'm trying so hard to make that work, and you have constant resistance, just constant resistance from the universe. It's like, okay, I know you're trying to push me down another path, but this is what they want. So finally, okay, let
it
go.
And so then finally the universe breaks you down, and you have to just give in.
As it should be.
So when you're working on your own projects, mm-hmm. Do you get those flashes of insight with your own stuff, or are you too close to it?
Trying to think if I actually get flashes or not. Not so much maybe flashes, but it all works so easily and it just flows. Like, boom, I know I want this. I know I want this. This is what needs to be here. Or if I'm, you know, doing like a scale drawing of, you know, even with the room layout, yes, I'm very anal. It's like I have to make everything kind of exactly how it's going to fit, where it's going to go, just like I do for my clients.
Well, which makes everything fit perfectly as opposed to being an inch too wide.
Exactly. And then it doesn't fit.
And not getting in the room. That's right. True. That's right. Or having a lot of wasted space. I mean, yes. You really are a master at making use of spaces,
yes,
as much as possible. Like all kinds of cool pull-out drawers and flip-down things. And
yes, you know, I love that.
I know you love that. That's awesome. So how do you feel like that your art and this process of interior designing has affected your spiritual evolution, or that your spiritual evolution has affected your art?
I guess the biggest part of that is actually connecting the dots that all of my creativity and my talents are spiritually driven and given to me. And I mean, making that connection and understanding that is like the most incredible thing for me, because it's like knowing or being able to do something so, and I don't want to say that it's easy, but it's just effortless, like it all just happens and it works together, is, I just get amazed by it, and knowing that it is all divinely inputted into me. I mean, you know, I'm just like the person that's doing it. So, you know, I'm just the user here, or the pen, or whatever it might be.
That's right. It's somebody else's programming the system.
Exactly, and I'm so glad.
So I know that this is a different career for you, that you did another career for a long time, and this is actually a fairly recent career shift for you. So how did you decide to make that shift? Was that was your spiritual evolution any part of that decision?
I would say, I think the spiritual transformation for me started happening before I actually started my business. And a lot of it, when I started, was more the encouragement of friends, because they would constantly see things that I had done. And I'm like, you know, why are you not doing this and sharing these gifts and talents with the rest of the world? Because you were given them for a reason.
So tell our listeners what you were doing before.
Well, I was working in the chemical industry. I was the customer service manager for an international company, and I handled all of the U.S. operations.
So interior designing is a very dramatic difference. So 2002 is when you started this business. So now for 10 years, you've been on this path.
Yes. So it is a huge, the only thing that I would say the huge link is, of course, all of the business aspect of it. And because it was customer service oriented, which I've always done my whole life, is some type of customer service, because I truly love people. But yes, being able to use the creativity, which I couldn't so much use it in the prior, like, corporate America position, other than if you're going to call, you know, computer programming, that kind of thing, which that's not as creative.
But it does sound like you really honed your listening skills.
Yes.
In that customer service career that you had before.
Right. And that's something that I've always done, because we miss so much if we don't listen in any aspect of our life. So, but yes, and even going into the creative industry, that was big. And doing something that you enjoyed so much, and you actually had the gifts and talents, I never realized that, you know, you could actually do that as a career, a living, or anything else, because I thought, okay, that's, you're just supposed to enjoy that, have fun with it, and it's not something you should actually, you know, make a living at.
So if you were going to mentor someone that was just starting out in either an interior design career or another creative career, what would be some of the things that you would teach them about tapping into that creative energy that they have?
The biggest part of that, and even though it's like when we're listening to clients, it's actually listening. And that's a big thing that I have issues with myself, is actually listening to our little inner voice. Sometimes I don't listen enough, because when I do listen, and whether it's going with the feelings or what you actually hear, everything seems to flow a whole lot better and a lot easier.
So it's not just listening to the client, but also listening to your intuition and the things that are coming from inside you.
Right, right.
So did that take a while for you to learn how to listen to that inner voice?
It's an ongoing process. Yeah. It's still a work in progress. Sometimes I don't listen nearly enough.
But you probably notice it more now when you don't listen.
Yeah.
So it is, for me, it's a process too, that, mm-hmm. you know, the more that I can train myself to listen, the more that I notice if I'm not listening, and it's easier to get back there.
Exactly.
Doesn't take quite, you don't have to go quite down the other road quite so far before you do a U-turn.
Exactly. We know about the U-turn.
Until your GPS tells you to come back.
That's right.
That's right. So, I know that you connect differently a little bit when you're doing solo work versus collaborative work.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see that yourself going in any directions that would be more solo work with some of your artwork, in addition to just doing some of your own projects? Are there other ways that you could work in more of a solo capacity, or do you enjoy the collaborative work more?
I mean, I like a combination of both because, well, most projects that I do are not going to be solo because then I've got to bring in, like, my wonderful craftsman who does all the tile work, and then, like, the electricians and, you know, all the different people that I bring in. And then I'm
so it's not really solo work anyway.
Typically not. It may start out a little bit solo, just me and the client and that beginning collaboration. But then after that, it's bringing everybody else on board, whether, you know, it's the cabinet builder and this is the vision, this is what I've got, this is what I've drawn out. How can we do this and make this even better?
So how do you handle that when you've got a vision for the project and you're bringing in these other craftsmen to help you see that vision? How do you get their ideas without it shifting the project too much?
And that's that other growth process. In the beginning, it's like it's very hard. Well, it's very easy to be stubborn and say, okay, it's going to be this way and only my way and da-da-da-da. But then I have found, just through the evolution, that it's very nice to listen to what their thoughts and ideas are. It might not be that, okay, I'm going totally with what they suggest, but a lot of times I will pick out components. Like all of a sudden they said something and it spurs on another thought or idea. Like even when we're doing tile work, you'll say, well, you know, I think we should do it this way. I'm like, no, that's not how it's going to happen. But I'll continue to listen. It's like, oh, but I do like that aspect. I do like that aspect. Let's put all that together and make it work. And then he likes it too. He's like, oh, when I thought of that, but that really looks good.
And then he has more buy-in to the project too, and probably works a little bit harder.
Yeah, honestly, it's like the guys always do such a great job. But yes, it's like it makes him feel, I'm sure, a little bit more special and more part of the project because he is truly a craftsman, just like all of them are.
So now do you bring in your craftsmen a little earlier than you might have earlier in your career? Like, do you have discussions with them before the tile has already been purchased? I mean, do you go in and talk to them about what the plan is to see if they have ideas for a little shift in the project before you're too far down the road to be expensive changes?
Oh, yeah. Because we don't like changes and we don't like, you know, wasting money or anything like that. But typically what I do, if it's tile, you know, I've already, like, selected these with the client, things that they love. And then I have each one of maybe the tiles that are going to be in the whole project, just so that he can see, like, okay, if I've got glass or I've got metals or whatever it might be and the sizes and the shapes, and I'll show kind of like a drawing or idea of what I've got. And I have not even purchased the tiles at that time. So then we start looking at it, talking about it, collaborating, and then we'll talk about, like, quantities, what we need, how we're going to put it up, how the whole process is going to work. So, yes, they are brought in right after, like, the tile selection part's happened.
I think that's really interesting, and I want us to take just a brief segue to talk about your dancing, because I know that that's a big passion for you that you've just really gotten involved in the last, like, five or six years.
Yeah, 06 was my very first dance lesson.
I know, and then now you're dancing many nights a week and go and do competitions. So, you know, I'm just curious how you feel like dancing it fuels your spirituality and your creativity, how you feel like that affects the process of creation for you.
And it's amazing because a lot of times when I am on the dance floor, just dancing to a song, I mean, it doesn't even have to be competition, I just totally get taken away, like, into another world. And it's like you forget everything except for whether the song, you hear the song in the background and the movement of your body. And it's like the most wonderful experience. I mean, it's totally like the best de-stressor. It's just a great relaxation. And there again, it's like such a wonderful gift that I was given, which is, I so enjoy it.
Well, and I know that you were saying earlier that you're the way that you work is really tapping into feelings. I mean, you're talking to people and listening to them, but you're tapping into your feelings about the project and your feelings that you're getting from them.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like the way that you just described dance is a lot about tapping into your feeling as well.
It is. It is. Because it's like there's times when you can have like a really bad day and it's like, okay, you've just done too much, you're just overstressed, whatever it might be. And then I hit that dance floor and it's like nothing else. I mean, it's so wonderful. And then I always think growing up, dancing was frowned upon at the time in a very small southern town.
Yeah. And kind of a footloose kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't understand that. And I didn't understand it as a child because my father was a fabulous dancer and everything. And then later on in life, it's like, I don't understand that because there again, this is a gift. This is not something I can do, but it's a gift that I was given. And to be able to use that gift and actually do that. And I so enjoy being watched as far as like people that are around the dance floor, they love watching. And it's like, I love that entertainment aspect too.
Well, and you just light up on the dance floor. I've seen you dance and it's fun. It is fun to watch you because everyone can see how much fun you're having out there.
Yeah. And that's what I hear. And it's like, I love that.
Well, Anita, I'm so grateful that you came in today and shared your thoughts and your ideas and your creative process. And how can listeners get in touch with you and find out more about your design stuff as well as, you know, some of the other things that you're involved in?
I do have a website. Should I give that?
Yeah.
Or not? Okay. It's www and it's Byers Design, and that's BeyersDesign.com. And on that information, there's everything from phone numbers and all that stuff. And I don't know if I need to get phone number or not.
I think just your website is probably fine. And I think, you know, it's if people go to your website, they'll see you in your little hard hat, and they'll see lots of great pictures of some of the projects that you've worked on. So
yeah.
That really are beautiful. So,
thank you.
And I think there's also a link to the AJC article that
yes.
talks about your kitchen.
Exactly.
The redesign of your kitchen that has very cool pullouts and
yes.
cabinets and stuff. So this has really been wonderful. And thanks to my guest today, Anita Byer. So tell our listeners one more time your website and spell it for them so they can get in touch with you.
Okay. It is www.Byers Design, which is BeyersDesign.com.
So thank you to our listeners. I welcome your suggestions or your comments on this or any of our shows. You can find links to all of our shows on Empower Radio, and that's Empower with just one R, EmpowerRadio.com, or on our website, artasworship.net. Please come and share your stories of art as worship on our Facebook page, which is www.facebook.com/artasworship, or suggest an artist that we should interview. Listen in next week as we talk with another artist about their creative process and how it connects with their spiritual journey. May you have an inspired and creative week. Namaste.